Hello and welcome to the special edition of We the People. The outrage, the outpouring of anger after the gang rape of a young woman in India's national capital has led many to ask whether this is an opportunity for systemic change. Or, as the headlines fade, will public anger diminish as well, and will it be back to business as usual? For the next 1 month, this program commits itself to a campaign from across India for systemic change. We promise to focus on what we're calling every woman's battle. We're going to be looking at some of the things that, unfortunately, we still haven't learned to discuss openly. We'll be looking at issues that range from marital rape to the misogyny of popular culture and how women are depicted, for example, in our cinema, in our songs, and in our advertisements. On the program today, we look at something that is perhaps the toughest for us to talk about. What happens when sexual violence and sexual abuse takes place within what was considered a circle of trust? What if a rape takes place in a marriage? What about so many of us who have grown up with the experience of a relative, a friend of the family, having abused us sexually when we were little children? Why was it so difficult for us to tell our parents? And how did they react? Did they react in a sensitive or appropriate way? While we focus on better law enforcement and safer cities, what happens when the enemy is right inside our homes? I want to start with Priya Dutt. Priya, as a lawmaker, as I must say, one of the few members of parliament of your party who spoke when the rest of your party was unfortunately silent, I want to ask you to share your thoughts on the fact that we now do have finally a law that pertains to sexual assault tabled in the Lok Sabha. It's come after 7 years of delay, which many people believe points to how this was never a priority for our lawmakers. But it still does not recognize issues that we find very difficult to talk about as a society. And this somehow still seems to be a bit of a holy cow. So while this present law does say that if a woman is under 18, for example, then there is recognition of sexual abuse. But the moment she's above 18, our law is silent on marital rape. Do you feel it's time to take the lid off this so far taboo subject, as it were, almost?
I think so, and I completely agree with you. This is a matter which, even as a member of parliament, I've been speaking of from day one. The problem is that we are moving ahead in time, but unfortunately, our laws are not keeping pace with that progress. 50 years back, we didn't have television, we didn't have mobile phone, we didn't have internet. With all that comes added problems as well. But we have not been able to keep pace with that.
So do you feel the law should recognize marital rape?
Of course, it has to recognize. And especially when you're talking about marital rape or you're talking about child abuse within families itself. Sex in itself is such a taboo subject even today within families. A mother cannot speak to her daughter about good touch or bad touch.
Yeah.
We don't introduce that in our schools, which we must.
So you believe it is time for the law to turn its attention on marital rape,
Definitely.
To acknowledge that it exists. And a statistic of a survey by a Washington-based group is actually worth taking note of. They found that one in every five Indian men had confessed to forcing his partner to having had sex with him at one point or the other. Also, in more than 90% of the cases, the woman who has been in the receiving hands of sexual violence actually knows her abuser. So are we really focusing on the issues that matter? Let me get a police officer's perspective here. Himanshu Roy, one of the things, and we're going to be hearing from women in this show who have suffered this personally, one of the things that happens to women is that it's tough enough to file an FIR anyway. There is social stigma, there is a gender insensitivity of the police. But if you walk into a police station and you want to say, my husband, the man I was married to, has raped me, because of the ambiguity of the law, because the law just doesn't recognize this, because even under the Domestic Violence Act, it's treated as a civil offense and not a criminal offense, that woman actually doesn't know where to go. And she would think 1,000 times before walking into a police station to file an FIR. What does the police do when you get a complaint that specifically pertains to sexual abuse in the home?
You're absolutely right. Our law does not recognize marital rape if the woman is over 16 years of age.
Yeah.
So there is an issue here that if a woman of more than 15 is forced to have sexual intercourse by her husband, there is no provision in law by which she can be punished. However, if the act is accompanied by violence, if the act is accompanied by threat, he can be booked under those sections, but not the main section and the main issue which we are talking about. The law is not ambiguous at all. The law is clear that he cannot be punished.
So at the moment it's not ambiguous, it just doesn't recognize.
Yeah, it does not recognize marital rape for
a
woman.
In other words,
a
man can beat up his wife,
more.
Assault her, sexually abuse her and not be punished for it if she's over 16 at the moment.
He cannot,
over 15
cannot,
under the present law.
He cannot assault her. He cannot threaten her.
So what would a police officer do when a woman walks into the police station?
Before I answer that, let me give you a very interesting statistic. Last year in Mumbai, we had 230 rapes registered. Out of this, 92% of the cases, the victim was known to the accused. In more than 31% of the cases, it is a relative. So there is a serious issue out here that we are dealing with. As far as the police is concerned and as far as registration of FIRs is concerned, I think we are fairly sensitive about registration of FIRs. We insist that it is registered by a woman police officer. Normally, in fact, in all our cases, the investigating officer is also a woman police officer. And we are going in for even better rape investigation protocols with the help of NGOs. We
but
are
at the moment, the law itself is silent. Anand Grover, you have a lawmaker here. Priya Dutt here is saying it's time to recognize marital rape. The fact of the matter is that it's taken even much of the world time to catch up with this. Even in countries like the United Kingdom, it was only recognized in the 90s. Now, if you look at ourselves as a deeply misogynistic culture, you know, a culture where we kill girls before they're born, a culture where we say, may you be the mother of 100 sons, in this deeply misogynistic society, will we as a people be ready to look at marital rape?
You know, the notion that marital rape is not a crime is based on the fact, and this is brought from English law, that when a woman marries a man, she consents to have sex any time. Yeah. So therefore, there can be sex without consent in marriage. Now, the women's movement and progressive legal groups recognize this to be a very bad thing, and it was suggested to Parliament before the sexual assault bill came that marital rape should be recognized as a crime.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, our parliamentarians are mostly men. They do not recognize equality of women in society. And the major problem, I'm glad that you're addressing it, that it's the home and the sanctified relationship of a man and a woman in a marriage. There is inequality built in the marital rape which occurs, which is not recognized. And I think it's fundamental that if you want to solve this problem in the long term, you must recognize marital rape as a criminal offense.
Why do you think it's not happened?
Because it's not happened
because while I smiled and Priya smiled when you said most of our lawmakers are men, women can be very sexist as well.
No,
because
it can be.
It's an inherited or a socialized patriarchal mindset.
Biologically, it's very difficult for a man to be raped by a woman. You need an erection, by the way. But let me tell you why it's not happened. And I'm sorry to say that most of the male parliamentarians, with the exception of very few, they do not imbibe. They have not imbibed the constitutional values of equality of men and women in this society. If you do not cook in your house, like I do as a man, you do not respect your partner who's a woman.
Yeah.
That's where it starts.
Can I ask you, Priya, quickly, why do you think the lawmakers, why do you think Parliament has been so resistant to the idea of acknowledging marital rape? Is it because of the skewed ratio of women versus men? Though I must say cynically that we have had no necessary evidence because women are at the helm, Anand, of every significant
political...
They're
tokenistic. They only hold power in a particular sense, but they are in a male paradigm.
I agree. I always think that even Parliament is a reflection of our society.
Yeah.
You know, I think all of us sitting here are very empowered compared to most of India.
We are people of privilege. I mean,
exactly.
There's no denying that.
But when we talk about majority of India, the cultural mindset is just that. Now, when a woman even gets her daughter married to a man, she will teach her daughter that whatever your husband says is right. Even if you get slapped around, sometimes it's fine. He's your husband.
So it's so deeply ingrained in a sense. Before I come to the others, I just want to hear from somebody who perhaps had to deal with the ultimate horror of all. Married to a man who she discovered was sexually abusing their child. Perhaps that's even tougher than being abused yourself. I have somebody here sitting next to me from Bangalore. The man that she was married to was a French diplomat. He was arrested after a huge media pressure. Now the case is awaiting final judgment in court. He has been given bail since. I just want you to talk a little bit about what happened with you and when you discovered this, how you discovered it, and how you struggled, because this was your family. this was your husband and then this was your child.
Well, it started a long time ago. It probably started when I was pregnant with my third child. And my daughter, who was then barely 1 year and 9 months, she used to use baby words. So I wasn't sure. What is she saying? She's using words like, Papa hurt me down there. She used the French word, Zizi. Because, as usual, in India, we don't have a word for the sexual organ. See? So she was saying, Papa hurt me down there. She used to say it in front of him. And he always had excuses. He used to say things like, well, I wash her with soap. I used to say, okay, don't use soap. When I was pregnant, the doctors had advised me not to carry her because I was having a threatened pregnancy. And I was dependent on him. Okay, I am one of the, you could say in India, privileged, educated class. And but I still looked up to him and I loved him so much. I thought I must be crazy. I'm the housewife. I'm sitting at home with two children. My daughter is telling me something. There's something wrong with me. And this went on for a while, but I also must say it's got to do a lot with denial and ignorance. One of it was denial because I didn't want that pretty picture to collapse of my family. But I did go to the doctor right in the beginning. I didn't tell her exactly what I was doubting. I said, she's a little girl and I'm paranoid. Can you just check her? And the doctor checked and said that was right in the beginning. So I think he might have just started at that point. But she was telling me right from then, and it tears me up when I imagine that she was trying to tell me right from the beginning.
How old was she then?
About 1 year, 9 months, you know. She was just saying, Papa, and she wasn't saying sentences. It's Papa, Zizi, Bobo. Zizi is the French word for the sex organ, and Bobo means hurt in French. That's enough. Now I realize that's enough.
Now you're Indian.
Yes.
You were married to a French diplomat. What was the kind of pressure when you decided that you were going to talk about this, that you couldn't remain silent, that you were going to, in fact, make this a criminal case? What was your internal struggle and the external pressure?
Externally, there was no pressure because I did not tell my family, I did not tell my parents, I did not tell anyone except I spoke to two friends. That's it. I spoke to them because she reached a stage, 3.5 years old, where she used a whole sentence. She came out of the bathroom one day. She did not say, please, a child is not going to tell you, Papa ne, is it lutli? No. She'll use baby words, but it's clear enough. She came out of the bathroom one day and said, it hurts when I when I do pee pee because Papa hurt me down there. And then it came like a shock to me. You know, she's using a full sentence. What more do I need? And then I spoke to two friends and they said, yes, go to a doctor. And I went to a doctor. I didn't believe the doctor. I didn't believe the second psychologist who I spoke to. I didn't believe the third psychologist who I spoke to. Pressure. Yes, we're talking about pressure. I didn't tell my parents until it came out in the newspaper.
How did they react?
I told my mother. I didn't tell my father. I told my mother, Mommy, you have to be strong. This is it. I told her exactly, you know, this is it, rape and sodomy. And you have to be strong. You tell Papa when you think it's the right time, because my father is a heart patient. And it would be horrible for him. And they adored my husband. They were like, it's a typical relationship where, you know, I'm this tomboy, I talk too much, I jump about too much, and he is this nice guy who helps around the house, not like the older generation Indians. Everyone loved him, I mean. And so I didn't even get into that. On the 15th morning, when it was all out in the papers, I guess, I told my mother, tell my father when you think it's right. You have to be strong. I've done this. I mean, this is what has been happening. She said, but she's so small. She's so small. I said, yeah, I don't have time for this, Mommy. And I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I didn't go to her earlier. I'm glad I didn't tell the whole world earlier that I did what I have to do. There was an NGO that helped me, that advised me. And then there were friends who helped me. I had spoken to a lot of friends after.
And did you find the law sensitive? Because I want to take this back to the panel.
Yeah, if you want to get me started on the law, I'm sorry, it's going to be long. But first day itself, when I went to pick up the report, my husband was at home. He had come home for lunch. And when I came back, he had gone back to work. And then the maid told me, sir put his food inside the fridge. He put your daughter to sleep. Then my heart started thudding. I should not have left him home that day itself. But it's just that I was denying everything all the doctors were telling me. And then I went to the hospital. They did not tell me that particular day that there was a case of rape. I was crying in the hospital. The next day, on the 14th, I received a call from the NGO. It said, the test is positive for sperm. That was like a slap on my face. I mean, there was no looking back after that. I mean, till the 13th, I was calling up my friends, my sister. I said, I'm not calling the police. I'm going to go to Kerala. I'll call him and say, Pascal, I think you need counseling, but this is what's happening. And professionals have said it, etc. 15th, I go to the police station with a report from one of the doctors. And it was a long process. They said, they asked me so many questions. But why? We can't just take a complaint from you and arrest a man. We cannot. Where are your children? I said, I left them at a friend's house. You go to your friend's house with your children. And we'll investigate into the matter. And I was really angry. I got up and I said, I'm not going to my friend's house. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm going back home. If you can't deal with him, I'll deal with him. And that's when they discussed for a while, and they said, okay, fine, we'll bring him in for questioning.
I mean, you're very brave to come here and share what happened and to take it out there, and a lot of people just aren't able to. And Flavia, I think there's an honest account here of how you actually first tell yourself, it can't be true. And I don't know what it takes for a mother, for an Indian woman in our society to do this. Is the law on her side?
Well, I don't think we should collapse marital rape with child sexual abuse.
Yes.
Now, we have a new act also for child sexual abuse, but we need to educate the police on that, what that law is all about. But it's very difficult to file a case of a father raping daughter.
Yeah.
I've handled cases where for 2 years, women have tried to file a complaint. And most of the cases that I have dealt with are women in the slums. And the husband abuses them and threatens them. One thing I can tell you for sure, why women don't speak is the minute they speak, the marriage is over.
Yeah.
Are they ready for that?
But shouldn't the marriage be over anyway? I mean, why would you want to inhabit that marriage?
It's shelter, it's economic security, it's food for your children, it's everything. Then if you don't have family support, recently there was a conviction in the father raping daughter. She tried to tell the mother, but the mother didn't do anything. Rather, mother did confront the husband, but the husband says, I will desert you. And she didn't do anything further. After that, she confided in some uncle who filed the case. Mother didn't even come to court to depose. I mean, this is the situation we are in, that nobody wants to talk about it.
Mrinalini Deshmukh, as somebody who also looks at a number of divorce cases, here's what the other side would... Because there is always another side, which is why we haven't reached a consensus. And the other side would be, and Flavia's right, we need to separate the stands of marital rape and child sexual abuse. So let's first look at marital rape. The other side would say, like she got annoyed when the police said we have to investigate what you're saying. But that is what the police would say is their job. A lot of people here may say, what if somebody makes it up? What is there a possibility that this could be misused if the law were to recognize it?
Of course. Like the other provisions which are there for the women have been abused in some instances, and I'm sure Himanshu also knows about it. Even this could be misused. But does that mean that we don't have that as an offense against a woman? I would say no, we must have that as an offense.
So you believe that the law should recognize marital rape?
I think so.
Because we're hearing everybody almost saying that it should, and then it's tough to understand where the resistance is coming from.
No, the resistance is A, in the mindset, and the resistance is also into the fact that today, I come back to the major problem. Unless there is economic empowerment for the women, she will not be able to take that step. Because then only then can a woman take a stand that this is, and I cannot take it further. But I'm sure this is only 10%, 20% we're talking about. 80%, as Flavia rightly says, are the ones who are dependent on their husbands or their families.
But Himanshu, we hear repeatedly, and we heard it here as well, that the process of going to the police is very traumatic for people. Especially if it's a complaint that pertains to the house. As Flavia mentioned, the cops may turn around and say, "Arey, bring your husband back. You know, this is some marital spat." We don't want to get into the middle of it.
Traditionally, the tendency has always been to try and kind of make the marriage work. But I think the time has come to change this mindset. I think it is time now to register an FIR first when we get a complaint and then investigate.
Yeah.
Merely registration of an FIR does not mean that the person is guilty. It means an investigation.
Then it's
begins.
A charge that you're investigating.
It is an investigation.
So why
process.
Is it such an ordeal to get an FIR registered?
It shouldn't be. Times are changing. And I assure you that in the days to come, not only in Mumbai, but you will find a difference all across the country.
So you're saying that when a woman walks in, at least file the FIR. I'm seeing a lot of cynicism on Anand and Flavia's face.
Unfortunately, Himanshu is in a minuscule minority. Most of the police officers are not only insensitive, it is an occasion for them to make money. I had gone to my tailor once when someone, he wanted to register a case, and his own cousin was working in a police station in Mumbai. He said, he's told me very clearly, the other side will approach them, because that is the modus operandi. Before they even register an FIR, they will actually tell the other side who will be invited to balance the equation in terms of money. And that is a regular process. People have to pay to get appointed as police officers. So you have to change the system. How do you change it? We have made a recommendation. The first of all, the investigation and the law order has to change. Yeah. That has been made. Secondly, the police has to be accountable to the public and the community. There will be an independent group at the district level which will decide whether you are doing your job properly. Yeah. That has to come in.
Every police has to control the number of crimes in his beat or in his jurisdiction.
Yeah.
And as soon as that number is reached, you don't file any more complaints. Then you settle. Tomorrow, every woman goes and files a case of marital rape or child sexual abuse. It looks bad on the police officer. So every police officer tries to control and tries to pacify and say, well, let's investigate, then we will file. Why the cases are not filing?
I want to look at the process that takes place before you make that choice to go to the police station, because sometimes that's even tougher. Kalpana, when you first made a movie that actually dealt with sexual violence and personal relationships, I mean, these were subjects that we didn't even speak about. How did you find the response, or even today in the drawing room outrage that we find so easy to express? Are we willing to look inwards at our own prejudices, at the fact that marriage still continues to be regarded as a bit of a holy cow, that ending a marriage is considered some biggest possible cataclysmic event, which in itself is the beginning of the problem?
See, when I made my film Daman, in fact, I had coined that campaign line saying victim of marital rape. Prior to the film's release, I got a lot of flack by people from the educated class saying, how dare you mention that term? But as you see the film, I have not given answers. I've spoken about the psychological ramification on a woman from an upper middle class home who doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I haven't even come to the stage where she would want to reconstruct her marriage again, or whether she would really like to go and file an FIR, or whether she was going to look for an NGO. Because most of us, even someone like myself, before I made Daman, I was totally unaware of the percentage. 2000 I made the film, and at that time the percentage was 3 out of every 5 Indian women were victims of marital rape. And I was given a huge flack by Times of India film critic, saying that I've chosen a bizarre subject, and that I wrote the screenplay mentally insane, and that I should drop dead and take a sabbatical. I've got that
You should show that film review now. Yeah.
And Barkha, coming to the most important part, that is one of my only film which was commercially successful. So you see, it means that
it had a resonance.
Yeah, people want to know issues which they are not accustomed to hearing, seeing, or being written about.
Poonam, it is in this little sliver of a certain kind of Indian public opinion easy to reach a consensus. Yet the fact is, and I think Kalpana hits the nail on the head, that even educated people, even feminists, even liberals, and we heard this from the lady from Bangalore, your first response is denial. These are educated homes. These are progressive homes. And yet it is so difficult to talk about these things. So where do we go from here? I mean, our reaching a consensus will not work when almost every second lawmaker every day is making some bizarrely sexist comment.
The law must change. A very small percentage of people, even today, 2% of people who experience sexual abuse go to the police station. 2% go to the family and 1% go to the police station. So we have to put in place preventive measures. And while economic empowerment is very important, it'll take a long time, given that women don't have the skills for the job. So I would say dividing property equally between women and men. Even I would say something as radical as when a woman is taking care of the house and the children, why shouldn't the salary be divided between two people? And any land that is allotted should be between, should be in the name of women and men to empower them in the absence of jobs.
So my question to you is it really linked to economic empowerment? Because I ask again and again that even economically empowered women will find it tough to talk about domestic violence or marital rape. And people might say to you that, hey Poonam, you and I can afford to work. Do we really need some man's salary to finance us?
But we have to prevent these societal attitudes and therefore empowering women and collective action. And finally, Barkha, to answer your question, it's not, there is very little difference between what the norms that society makes for empowered women or not so empowered women in terms of economic empowerment. They're the same.
Yeah.
And unless societal norms change, which is people speaking out, I'm so glad there's a lady here who's talking about her abuse publicly. And however hard it may be, I would like to see more victims of sexual
come
abuse
out
come out and speak. Look at the HIV AIDS movement. It is, there was a huge stigma for people who are living with HIV AIDS, but they came out. The stigma decreased.
And yet, if I can get Anuja in at this point, as somebody whose NGO actually works with child sexual abuse, the fact is, it is, even those who speak out, the fact is that it is so difficult to speak out openly. You know, there is a reason that that our friend from Bangalore today is wearing this scarf, because she needs to guard against the reactions that come from extended family, from society. And sometimes they're protecting their children. They're willing to make themselves vulnerable to that scrutiny, but not their children. Why is it so difficult to talk about sexual abuse?
You know, one thing I would like to say that we are constantly talking about denial. You know, how is it, why is it that people are denying what's happening, including victims and survivors? Okay, you have to understand psychological underpinnings of this. You know, denial is a very natural human response to an atrocity that you do not want to accept. So if you understand that denial is part of how it functions, then we will find a way to deal with denial, rather than saying, why are you denying?
But if there's denial, then the interface with the law becomes very complicated, because if you don't want to admit it to yourself, how do you take it to the law?
Which is why it is so difficult. You have to have these steps, which is why somebody like her, who has come up and has overcome these steps in her mind, you know, and actually reached the police station, is a journey. Like when women come to our organization at Rahi, they may be coming after 50 years of being sexually abused. And it takes that long in the mind. Which woman would like to say that my father sexually abused me? Would, if you or anyone in this audience had been sexually abused by a father or brother, would you like to acknowledge it to yourself? It's very, very tough. There's a lot of shame. There's confusion. And in incest, you know, what happens is there is a pre-existing relationship the abuser has to the victim. So you may love your father. You know, survivors of child sexual abuse, incested survivors, do not necessarily hate their abusers. And it's the same thing you see in domestic violence. Yeah. You keep asking the question, you know, economic empowerment is important, but why do women who are even economically
empowered remain
in marriages? You have to understand it from a psychological point of view.
I think that's a really important point, and I want to hear now from somebody who actually did experience sexual violence in her marriage and chose to actually speak about it, try to take it to the police. Sheetal ji, aap railways mein ab kaam karti hain aur yahan par baat ho rahi hai ki jo shaadi hai aur jo shaadi ka ek sambandh hota hai usme bhi jab sex ki baat aati hai to aadmi zabardasti kar sakta hai, violent ho jata hai jab usko sex jis tarah se chahiye wo nahi milta. Aapne faisla kiya aur aapne ek bahut brave yahan faisla kiya hai. Aapne kaha hai ki main apni shakal nahi chupaungi, main apni kahani khud apne lafzon mein batana chahti hu. To aap bataye aapke sath kya.
Actually main railway servant hu. Subah morning 6 o'clock mera duty chalu hota hai. 6 to 2 o'clock main office mein rehti hu. Uske baad 2 o'clock ke baad mera 2 shops hai. वो शॉप्स पे जाके बैठती हूँ मॉर्निंग, फिर 7 o'clock तक मैं घर पे आ जाती हूँ. फिर उसके बाद खाना बनाना, रात को सोने तक मेरी 5 years बेबी है, फिर उसका सब करके वगैरह सोने में ऑलमोस्ट 11-12 बजता है. तब तक मेरे हस्बैंड टीवी देखते रहते हैं, या फिर यहाँ वहाँ घूमना, ऑफिस से लेट आना, अपनी बेटी के साथ बाहर घूमना. उसके बाद वो 1 बजे घर पे आएंगे, 1:30 बजे घर पे आएंगे. मुझे सुबह 5 बजे उठकर फिर रोटी चपाती बना के, कभी कभी मैं नहीं बना पाती हूँ क्योंकि वो पूरी रात तक अगर मुझे उसके लिए सेक्सुअल हरेसमेंट करते हैं, पूरी रात तक अगर सताते हैं, अगर मैं उसके लिए अपोज करती हूँ तो फिर हमें बोलेंगे कि हाँ तुम बच्चे लो नो, ऐसे हो वैसे हो, तुम्हें और कोई मिल गया है, इसकी वजह से तुम मुझे सपोर्ट नहीं करना चाहती हो.
तो सेक्स जो था वो जबरदस्ती किया.
हाँ, तो उसके बाद अगर मैं अपोज करती, ऑब्वियसली अगर कोई हस्बैंड अपने वाइफ को अगर इतने अच्छे रहने के बावजूद भी अगर आप ऐसे बोलते हो आपको मुझे मुझे नहीं चाहिए किसी और के साथ रिलेशन बरकरार रखना है, तो ऑब्वियसली मैं उनके साथ रिलेशन नहीं बरकरार रखना चाहती। फिर भी वो कभी कभी हमेशा ऐसे हमेशा जोर जबरदस्ती करना, बेटी बाजू में सोई रहती है, माँ बाजू में सोई रहती है, उसका भी उनको कुछ नहीं लगता। और फिर अगर कभी अपोज करती हूँ तो रस्ते में गाली गलौज करना, ये करना वो करना,
वायलेंस मार पिटाई।
हाँ, मार पिटाई बहुत बार हुई है। एक बार तो मुझे बोला है कि अगर मैं अपनी माँ के यहाँ पे रहने जाती हूँ तो बोलती अगर तू बाहर आएगी मुझसे छोड़ देगी तो एसिड फेंक दूंगा तेरे चेहरे पे और फिर मार दूंगा, तेरे को भी मार दूंगा, मैं खुद भी खत्म हो जाऊंगा। तो कम से कम 10 से 12 NCs हो चुकी है उनके नाम की। और बहुत
आपने फैसला किया कि मैं पुलिस में जाऊँ?
हाँ, मैंने बहुत बार, कम से कम आज से जब से शादी हुई है तब से आज तक लेके कम से कम 10 से 12 से भी ज्यादा पुलिस में NC हो चुकी है उनके नाम की, लेकिन आज तक कोई FIR लॉन्च नहीं हुआ, किसी ने कुछ कदम नहीं उठाया। अभी ये कंडीशन आ गई है कि मैं किसी के पास जाऊंगी मदद के लिए तो सब लोग वही बोलते हैं यार तेरा का हमेशा का नाटक है, तेरा हमेशा का यही है, किसी पास मदद के लिए जाती हूँ तो कोई बोलता है कि नहीं अभी कोई मदद नहीं करेगा तेरे को क्योंकि तेरा हमेशा का नाटक है ये। ना माँ सपोर्ट करती है, ना कोई फैमिली मेंबर, ना कोई इन लॉस, कोई भी नहीं। और आज अगर मैं यहाँ आई हूँ तो 10 बार सुबह से सबका फोन आया कि तू ऐसा मत कर ऐसा मत कर, लेकिन आज एक महीने से मैं गायब हूँ घर से, मतलब मेरे मामा के घर पे जाकर रह रही हूँ। अभी किसी को मतलब एक महीने से किसी ने नहीं मुझे बता कि तू कहाँ पे रह रही है अपने बेटी को लेके, क्या कर रही है, कुछ नहीं। और आज मैं यहाँ आ रही हूँ तो 10 बार सुबह से लोगों ने फोन करके पूछा कि तू ऐसा मत कर मत कर मत कर, लेकिन जब मैं अपने मतलब मैं इतना सह रही थी एक महीने से तो किसी ने कुछ भी नहीं पूछा। और अभी आज सुबह से बोल रहे सब लोग, और अभी बोल रहा है मैं अच्छा रहूंगा ऐसा वैसा, और अपनी बेटी के बारे में इतनी गंदी लफ्ज बोलता है वो कभी कभी। मैं अगर अपोज करती हूँ तो बोलेगा 10 लोगों के निकाल के लेके आई है। मैं बोले अगर ऐसा बोलता है अपने खुद के बेटी के लिए उसके लिए ऐसा जवाब है तो मैं बेटी नहीं दूंगी उसको। मैंने आज बोलता है मेरी बेटी दे दे, तेरे को जिधर जाने का उधर जा। मैं बोले अगर खुद की बेटी के लिए ऐसा वर्डिंग निकल रहा है तू तो फिर कल जाके मेरी बेटी की क्या परवरिश करेगा? मैं कुछ भी रहूंगी कैसे भी रहूंगी अपनी बेटी को संभालूंगी।
This is the experience of a woman who says that I have gone repeatedly to the police station and now I'm treated as a bit of a nuisance. I'm treated as the neighborhood drama boss.
Actually, ma'am, वो इतना बेफिकर है ना, उनके मामा है वो रिटायर्ड ACP है, वो जब भी पुलिस को पुलिस में जाता है हमेशा वो फोन करके उन्हें बताता है कि मेरा भांजा है, तो वो 2 घंटे में छूट जाता है वहां से।
ओके सर, सर को रिस्पॉन्ड कर दो। हिमांशु,
वी हैव एमिनेंट लॉयर्स ऑन दिस पैनल, दे विल बेयर मी आउट that the registration of an offense depends on the medical certificate, the extent of injury. If the injury is not grievous enough to warrant an FIR, what is known as an NC, a non-cognizable offense, is registered. The fact that 12 NCs have been registered means the police has taken cognizance 12 times.
But why law, not an FIR?
But the law does not allow us to arrest in an NC. The FIR can only be warranted if the extent of injuries are such which warrant an FIR.
No.
Hear me out. Bear me out in this.
We have many lawyers disagreeing, but yeah.
Fair enough. I will field all of that also. Having said that, the fact that 12 NCs have been registered, preventive action should have been taken. I am not aware if preventive action under chapter proceedings of the CRPC were taken. The man should have been produced before a magistrate and a bond for good behavior at least should have been taken in this case. I am not aware if it has been done. But justice is not only by criminalization. It is also by counseling and rehabilitation. Even if I lock him up for 15 days or a month, he is going to go right back into that house,
and
right back
thing.
Into the household and back
that,
in the same situation.
That I agree. But the question that this case raises, and I just want everybody to come in quickly before we take a break, is what do women do? Anand, you were disagreeing with him, Anand.
Well, first of all, it's not true that they have to investigate the injuries. First, you have to record an FIR. That is the mandate of the law. After that, you investigate. Himanshu actually earlier said you have to record an FIR.
No, he said that's how it should happen.
No.
But this does not disclose.
Earlier he said,
my good sir, this does not disclose the cognizable offence.
No, disclosing means
it does not disclose the cognizable offence.
Please, just bear with me.
Quickly.
What if her statement discloses an offence, it has to be registered an FIR, irrespective of the injuries. Sorry, we know the law. That's how
you're not the only one, sir.
Yeah, we only out only of the law.
Okay, Flavia. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to say when we have this law called 498A,
yeah,
which is a very important law, which includes all this kind of cruelty, including marital rape, including what she has gone through.
Yeah.
And immediately the police have so much power to arrest the husband.
Yeah.
Then we have a Domestic Violence Act, which will immediately give her an injunction in her favor, preventing this man from entering the house if there is continuous sexual abuse. But You know, there is a whole kind of situation where domestic violence law is with somebody else, police are under 498A, so much of badnam is there, women are misusing, higher ups are telling don't file case, our Supreme Court is telling this is a terrorist law, don't use it, women are misusing. Mrinalini will say, so-and-so will say, Justice Kaju will say, Justice so-and-so will say, everybody will say. Then when we say women like her, then we say, oh my God, why the police are not acting? Let us have one voice that what police must do, and that's what we would like to work with Mr. Himanshu Roy for protocols. Absolutely. That police must do this.
So what
and
is the protocol?
Else.
I think that's very important. But Priya, I want you to talk as a lawmaker, because the fact of the matter is that the statements that we've heard from our political establishment, Congress, BJP, both give us no reason to feel that there is a sensitivity.
When you talk about rape, when you talk about domestic violence, when you talk about child abuse, first of all, as we've all heard, that it's so difficult for a woman to even go and lodge an FIR.
Yeah.
You know, she's battered, finished psychologically. So when you go into a police station or you go into any place, there is no sensitization with the police. You know, it's like a cut and dry thing.
Yeah.
Kya ho gaya aapko? You know, you need to have people addressing women differently. A woman should not feel intimidated. No woman goes knowing the law. I'll be very honest with you.
Yeah.
We all are sitting here, we can talk about laws all day, but a common woman doesn't know what the laws are. But that is what which we need to sensitize every police station. And one thing I recommended was, like, you have the Anti-Corruption Bureau. You should have a bureau established for only
sexual
offenses
crimes.
Against women.
Yeah.
With an IPS senior, female IPS officer appointee, as well as women, more women in recruitment in the police force.
Mrinalini, this thing that Flavia has pointed out, that there is a perception that this could be something that is grievously misused and people create a kind of hawa around it. How do we counter that?
No, this is not a generalized statement that the law has been misused. Obviously, it's a very subjective thing.
Yeah.
It depends on each case and facts of the circumstances of the case. But talking about this lady over here,
yeah.
I mean, what she has gone through is not very uncommon. Because this is a very male-dominated thing, that it is me who I'm a provider. I am the one who rules your life and I'm the one who's running your life. So what I mean by misuse is not by ladies like this. Probably misuse is someone like you and me who are privileged, who go and abuse the law and who misuse the law. And definitely the law does not percolate down to these kind of ladies who really need it and who are the ones for whom the law is made.
All
that's
right.
Where I mean abuse of law.
Okay, we have to take a break. When we come back, there is an opportunity to make specific proposals to a Justice Verma headed committee, to a law that is finally going to get Parliament's attention. What should be the protocol in a police station? And also, we'll take all of your questions after the break. Welcome back. You're watching our special series of We the People, looking to put pressure on the establishment for a systemic change in our laws, but not just in our laws, also our attitude to women and our daughters. Before we return to the panel, let's take some questions. Go ahead.
I wanted to bring out the issue of the two-finger test, which is redundant, still existing in India. And also it's considered that the woman has had sexual intercourse many times before, so it's not really given importance. So we need to do away with this and come up with something that's more strong and something that's more technical.
And something more humane. I mean, I think that there's absolutely no disagreement with what you've said. Go ahead with your question.
We all know that law is important and strict action needs to be taken, but we need to step back and reflect what kind of society are these men growing in. These are our children, these are our brothers, our fathers. What is the message that media is feeding into their minds that they have become as inhuman as they are today? And also, sir, you raised a question that you need an erection for rape or something like that, which was quite a sexist remark. Why is it that only intercourse is considered as an offence, and why is touching
absolutely
and groping and everything accepted as an okay part of life? Why? And there are so many ads that show that it's okay for women to be touched or be eve-teasing, but only if she's raped, only then we need to take some action.
Anand, do you want to take that?
I'm sorry if you thought I made a remark which was sexist, but my point was that biologically, it's difficult for a woman to rape a man in terms of the law as it exists, because the rape requires
Can I just interrupt?
Rape requires penetration of the penis, That is the law. Perfect. But I think your point is very important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your point about media, I think, is the most important. And I'm really, really upset when I see most of the... I've stopped watching Bollywood because most of them always has a hero who's violent.
Yeah.
The woman who's submissive. And he takes the woman at the end of it who's submissive because he wins on a violent battle. So the gendered role is coupled with violence.
I just want to come in here this and actually explain what you the context of your statement is that the current debate is also that the law seeks to make sexual assault gender neutral and many people feel...
No, not now. Let me say, right now the bill... Bill has made it gender neutral.
That's what I meant.
All the women's organization, Lawyers Collective and other people have suggested that so far as the person who perpetrates the crime, he has to be male.
Yeah, that's what
biologically I mean. Male, but the so-called victim or survivor, I would like to call them, could be a woman or transgender person.
Yeah. Okay, yes, go ahead.
Why is it so difficult for a woman to go out and say that I've been raped, especially to the police? We look at the police as our security. Do I need to be sexually battered and bruised to go and make an FIR?
That's a very good question. Himanshu, I think you should take that because you said grievous injury has to be there. There are other people saying that we have no protocol. In some places, you actually follow this gross two-finger test to determine if somebody has been raped or not. But if she's saying, do I need to be battered, you know, black and blue before you will believe me?
I think much of it has to do with the way the police has been portrayed. Much of the blame lies with us, the way we have been in the past. Just as society is changing, we are changing. And I think if you go today to a police station, and I would request you to do that, you will see that the experience you have is positive. I assure you about that.
Anuja, you wanted to come in there. Yeah.
You know, we need to widen the scope of what we are calling abuse or assault. Sexual assault has a wide range. And at least in the case of child sexual abuse, there's a progression before it reaches to rape. The new law that has come out on child sexual abuse has actually graded sexual offenses starting from touch, non-touch, touch and aggravated offenses. You know, so that's a very important thing to recognize.
I think our friend from Bangalore wanted to say something. Go ahead.
One of the reasons why I waited so long was also related to this point, ignorance. I thought rape is this horrible thing we read about in the paper. Iron rod, battered, broken... But the doctors, one of the doctors explained to me, in the case of incest, an uncle or a father is not going to come out of the bedroom with a broken child and expect to be able to do it all his life, or, you know, as she's growing up. They do it carefully. But it's still rape. It's rape, it's careful rape.
Yeah.
And as a police, lots of them asked me, did you see blood? How was she? Was she walking properly? Yes, she was. She was used to it. Over the month, she was used to it. And I was in my ignorant world. No, I know what rape is. I read the papers. Rape is this. No. Yeah.
Incest, I think that's a very important point, and I'm glad we've raised this point. Priya, you wanted to come in there?
It shouldn't have to be penetration to prove rape, especially in child abuse.
Yeah.
You know, because most of the time, it may not be. But that still should be considered as rape or abuse. And another thing is, you know, like, girls like her can come out and recognize this. But I know cases, like Flavia said, in slums. You know, they feel that how silly you are to even think like that, you know. He must be doing something else. So, I think these are varied issues which we have to consider.
I can just take a question.
I need you to help me understand marital rape. Will it still be called marital rape if she said yes the first time? And say, for example, she has a kid. Will the proof that she has a kid and the fact that it was consensual the first time, will it still be called rape if it is forced all the other times?
Yes. Rape is if there is no consent. The first time, if you have consented, it won't be rape. And rape, unfortunately, the definition of rape is penetration.
But her question being, if in a marriage, if sex 8 times out of 10 has been consensual, but the 9th and the 10th time you were beaten or coerced into that sex, how do you prove
even
it?
Even if you were not beaten, even if the woman has said, I don't want to have sex, and the man actually forcibly penetrates her, it is rape if the law changes.
If the law changes.
Now, that is, no, just 1 minute. When a person goes to the police and says, I have been raped, they have to record an FIR. If the investigation proves otherwise, then the question arises.
Okay, Flavia.
Even a sex worker.
Yes.
Exactly. A man comes to her and then she says no that day, it still amounts to rape. Even if a boyfriend, you may indulge into sexual activity but do not want penetration, then it is still rape. Now, these are the different grades we need to internalize. We need to understand. The boys must understand. The girls must understand what is consensual sexual activity and what is non-consensual sexual activity. And that's the most important thing. We need sex education. We need education in our schools.
So I'm going to ask all of you to make your proposals of change to the current law. But before that, just a question thrown up to the audience here. Have any of you ever had to go home and talk about something that happened at school, in a bus, on a train, and found that maybe you've not been encouraged to speak about it openly, or there's been pressure? Do you want to take that?
I had a friend in school who used to be raped by her uncle, like every single day, and she came and told one of us about it. She just told us, please don't tell anybody else, because this can't go beyond that. Because the thing is, as girls, we're really embarrassed to even, like as a girl, to even tell you that I had sex with my boyfriend, for me is an embarrassment, because then I'll be termed a slut because I had sex with my boyfriend. Whereas it was my choice to do it, and I think I'm old enough to do it. Mm-hmm. But in this society, we're termed as sluts if we even do that. But for a guy, he earns respect if he goes and has sex with a girl.
Yeah. Absolutely, well said.
So in my school days, there was a girl, she had a boyfriend, and they decided to go to the badminton court to have some sexual things. And that boyfriend forced her girlfriend to, please, there are two more friends, they're also coming. Please, can you help? Please, now, then the girl refused, and he forced now to jaake dikha when I made an MMS. He was frightening.
So what did you as boys do with this boy? Did you continue to be his friend? Was there a kind of social boycott?
Nothing was done. The parents were called, both girl as well as the boy, and they were terminated. No police case, nothing was done. Everything was
The girl was also terminated.
Yes, because in the end, it was the wish of the girl to go to the badminton court. Yeah. But so she was blamed for it. But when she was forced, that was the mistake done by the boy.
Okay, I'm going to start taking last comments as I take a couple of more audience questions. Things you'd like to see change in the law. Anuja, let me start with you.
Yeah. You know, there's already a law we worked on for many years that has come out. It's good the law has come out. It recognizes that child sexual abuse exists. What I would like to change in that law is remove mandatory reporting, because what they have done in this law, they are talking about if you do not report sexual abuse, you are liable to prosecution, which means I and all my staff can go to jail for working with victims and survivors. Yeah. So that's a change I would like to make. I would like to make the age of sexual consent 16.
Kalpana, what needs to change about us as people?
I feel what's happened is post-independent India, cinema portrayed women as the Sati Savitri.
Yeah.
And as we have progressed as a civilized society, the position of woman has been encouraged as an item number.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even talk about the vamp.
Yeah.
The vamp has also been obliterated.
Yeah.
What is the danger is catering to the male gaze who treat the wife to be in the kitchen and the whore in bed.
Yeah.
So the whole sexual act of pleasure is associated with a sex worker or an item girl or a loose
moral woman. So it's a commodification.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a question.
Prevention lies in education. You teach students like 2 plus 2 is 5. It's imbibed in them. Shouldn't this be a part of education as well? Moral science?
Moral science is maybe a problematic word, because morality then also becomes, tum chota kapda nahi pehnoge to tumhare sath ye nahi. So moral,
it's value education. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a question.
Unless the society is more accepting of the victim, because most of the time what happens after the this abuses happen, the victim is tabooed. Why should a victim be undergoing such pressures? Yes. It is the perpetrator of the crime that should, you know, that should undergo social boycott. So unless this happens, I don't think women will come out. And how do we establish a rape in this?
Poonam,
absolutely brilliant question, because we have to stop calling people who experience sexual abuse, rape as victims. They are not victims, they are survivors. Secondly, the laws cannot do everything. It is societal change that has to happen. And finally, I do want to say that we cannot say that laws will be misused, so we shouldn't make them. Every law in India is violated. Why are we just picking up on 498A?
Okay, question here.
I want to tell you on face, 12 to 13 year old girls and boys, okay, they take weed, they get drunk, they take weed, and these are the children who come from the societies who can afford it. And they do not understand the difference between a touch. And I'll be very open to this. If a girl is touched and one of them comes and says ki oh usne mujhe aise haath lagaye jaise are tu benji hai kya itna ye kar rahi hai, it's okay, it's normal, it's cool. They all want to become the actresses from the films and all. I don't think it is If we talk about education, I think it should be handled in some other manner altogether.
Now, here's what she's actually saying, Rinalini. You're in denial about how young people are actually today starting sex. So you've got to deal with it because it's changing too fast.
I would definitely say that this all comes from knowledge and from the proper knowledge and proper channels that the knowledge comes, not from the television or not from any of the media stuff. As you say, when we were young, that let's talk about the birds and the bees. It should start from home, it should start from college, and it should start with people who matter to you around. And of course, the media can be a very, very potent weapon rather than showing one of these item numbers.
Himanshu, something you think the police needs to change about itself?
I must tell you that we should revisit the word rape.
Yes.
Etiologically, it is a Latin word which means violent theft of property. The Romans considered women to be property. So they termed the coin as an offense against the husband or the brother. The word has outlived its utility.
Fairly. The other word that needs to go, by the way, is teasing. It needs to go.
Absolutely.
And outraging modesty
needs to go.
These words need to go. They're antediluvian and honest. Yeah.
I think the most important thing is from the home to the school and to public spaces, education messages should go which say that a woman has a right to her own sexual expression. I remember in HIV, I used to always tell all the mothers, please tell your daughters there's something very good about sex, there's something bad about sex.
Yeah.
The schools, mind you, schools have not been willing
to talk about this.
And even parliamentarians, they don't want sex education.
Okay, I'm totally out of time, but I'll give it to the young man.
We have missed one important aspect of this, which is point of consent. There can be cases where, you know, something starts as a consensual sex act, right? And in the middle of it, someone says, no, I don't want to do it. And
but A no is a no. I think he's really pointing to areas where there is a grey area of whether it's consented or not.
But a no is a no. I think we have to accept that a no is a no, even if it happens.
Yeah. As of now, discrimination is inherent in our society, so shouldn't, besides the fact of sex education being taught in school, shouldn't the fact that, you know, we are equal also be considered?
That is the most important.
Absolutely. Okay, I'll give the last word to Priya.
I think what is important is we have to work together, as Mr. Anand said. Everything is a reflection of our society, and I think we need to work together to create that change. It's a consensus here of what people want. I think we all are speaking the same thing.
So we hope you'll take it to Parliament for
us. I will, definitely. Yeah. And I think it's really...
And I hope you will be heard when you take it to
And I hope I'll be heard.
There's a question here on
why such a late and a rude awakening? Why?
That's our society.
That is our society. I'm really... It's like 2611. It was again arising at that time.
We'll end with just a very sobering statistic.
So 56% of the women believe that it is okay to be beaten up by their men.
That's it.
What do we do to change the mindset to say it is not okay?
Well, let's just say on this program today, it is not okay.
It is not okay.
Definitely. No means no. It's not your fault. It's not just how you bring up your daughters. It's also about how you bring up your sons. Father. And in the end, most importantly, we need to stop covering and shrouding the issue of sex in silence. And marital rape or child sexual abuse are things to talk about. Because while you're fighting out there on the streets against your government, remember, the problem may lie within. And therefore, the change needs to begin at home. Thank you very much. We will be continuing our special series every Sunday night on Every Woman's Battle on We the People. Thank you.